Yes, morning all. Monday, April 29, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Stacks of sport, naturally, to talk about today. Canberra, tough loss yesterday. They were well beaten by the Red Hot Sharks. 40-0 it was in Ricky Stewart's 500th match as an NRL coach. In the other game yesterday, good win for the Knights. Much needed win for them. 18-14 over the Dolphins. Gee, they nearly gave it away though, late in that match though yesterday, didn't they? The Swans, they beat Hawthorn. The Swans are flying. 76 points the margin at the MCG. Isaac Heaney, he is now the $4.50 favourite to win the Brownlow medal. Right in, well, it's double figures the rest. So he's certainly a big fancy there to take that home very early in the season, though. Still, the Suns beating the West Coast Eagles by 37 points on the Gold Coast. And in the golf yesterday, more than 90,000 over the course of the 3 days at the Grange Golf Club there in Adelaide. And didn't it have some finish there yesterday? Brendan Steele won individually. And it's always sort of, you know, I guess, been pondered whether the team format is really succeeding. Well, they got their first ever team playoff yesterday. Two players from each team, and it was the Aussie team, Ripper GC, and the team of South African Stinger GC. And they had to pick two players from each team, and it was thrilling to watch. At some stage, a bit testy as the crowd got involved and made their feelings known to a couple of the players, perhaps. And the crowd certainly helped get the Aussies over the line. They won on the second playoff hole. So Cam Smith and Mark Leishman beating Louis Oosthuizen and Dean Burmester. And to win the team's portion of the live event on home soil, sparking great scenes there on the 18th. And, well, the concert afterwards there at the Grange yesterday. So it was interesting. We were there, of course, on Friday. We'll chat about that this morning. Adam Pengilly covered the whole event. We'll speak to him later as well. Loz and Stewie are here. Boys, a very good morning to you. How are you, Stewie?
Morning, Mido. Morning, everybody. Oh, look, late call up again. I was on the bench there, just warming it nicely, getting the pine nice.
You're a good 14th man,
are you? Just a late call up. Like, oh, hang on, I've got to get up early. So, but a big weekend at Mighty Sharks. They were great yesterday. The Raiders battling. I think, got to say, you've got some young blokes in that team.
Some injuries.
I love watching the press conferences. I've turned to watching all of the press conferences with all the coaches after the matches. And you just get this, I don't know, sometimes you get a pretty good picture of what happened. And then sometimes you get just one coach blowing. It's almost captivating watching the press conferences. It must be the hardest thing to world and do, that interview post-match. If you win, you say all the good stuff. Oh, you know, played well and the boys were good and full credit to everyone. And if you lose, I don't know, it's just like, oh no, I've got to go and do this. 8 minutes of just sheer pain.
Morning, boys. Yeah, there's not much you can say after a loss like that yesterday. They were disappointing, the Raiders. They had plenty to play for, but unfortunately, they just didn't get it right. Sharks were very good. Sharks were terrific. They've gone back to the top of the table. So well done to them. I'm like you, Mido. I'm not a big golf fan, but I love live golf.
It was great, mate.
I loved it on Friday, and then I loved it yesterday. Mm. In fact, I had it on the TV yesterday, and I had the footy on the laptop, because I was so engaged in it at the end. I flicked it over, saw how it was developing, and I stayed with the golf rather than the footy. And I haven't done that for a long period of time. I saw the crowds there cheering and getting a bit out of control, so to speak.
Did you hear Dean Burmester to some bloke in the crowd? Shut the up.
Yeah. But as an event, it was as good as anything you'll go to.
And it was an event, wasn't it?
I mean, it's an event. It's not for your purist golfer. You know, if you love your golf and you love it very quiet out there on the course, well, it's not for you. Mm. But if you want something a little bit different and something into the new age and something that will bring youngsters to watch golf and be a part of golf and take an interest in golf moving forward, that's the future.
As I was standing there with you and the boys were with on the 12th there on Friday, just after play started, in my head I was like, the PGA Tour is in trouble. This is what people want. Well, for a sport like golf, where it's, you know, traditional light clapping, well, that was an event. Big food areas, concerts, you know, the music.
There was always something happening. There was something happening everywhere you went. Mm. They had interactive games. They had anything you wanted, you were able to get. And if you wanted to just follow the golf and be a golf nuffy, well, you could have done that.
You
could have just watched and walked around. But if you wanted to have a good time, there were holes where you could go and do that. Mm. If you wanted to sit out the back under an umbrella, watch it on the big screen, you could do that. It just catered for everyone. And I was blown away because I didn't know what to expect. But if that's the golf of the future, I can see it grabbing the attention of the younger people. And I think that'll get bigger next year.
Mm. Well, it appeared from my very naive perspective, just watching it on TV, it looked bigger this year than last year.
Yeah,
it does. People knew more about it too. Last year it sort of came to Australia and everyone was like, oh, what's this? This is all those blokes that have left the PGA Tour. This year it was, oh, hang on, that's LIV Golf. That was that event last year. And I knew people that were actually going down, but you hit the sort of nail on the head from a sport. You've got to be really careful. You just don't go, you die with the sport. The sport traditionally just doesn't die. And yes, there are the hardcore purists that'll turn around and say, you're kidding yourself.
There will be, for sure.
And that's fine. That's okay.
It's not for everyone. Yeah. I get that.
But it's certainly, it's captivating people, certainly in Australia. It's just a shame when you see those blokes playing, and there's some, you know, your Koepkas and your Johnsons and your Mickelsons, they're not competing with Scheffler on the PGA Tour. They've got to find, and they will find a solution, you'd assume, over time, but there'll be your traditional events, I think, Masters.
Yeah, yeah, you can still protect the majors.
There's four events that those blokes should be allowed to play.
And there's a couple of other, you know, the players, you can protect a few of them and say, look, these are going to be traditional tournaments, you're not going to have the... But you can also attract a whole new audience. You've just got to find a solution to that. And that's a really commercial solution, isn't it? That's about cash and money and TV and everything that goes in it. But the Mighty Shark, did you blokes meet the Shark?
We were close to him. We saw him
a few times.
Yeah,
we were about, 20 metres away from
not
him
even.
There once?
Yeah.
We saw him talking to the great Roger Rashid, actually.
Oh, you're right, okay.
It was two fit men just having a yarn.
Did you?
Roger was flexing.
Roger's shirt was three sizes too small again. But then the players seem quite accessible too. They seem a lot better than what you see on the PGA Tour, where they do their press match presser and they...
Well, they know. I don't know on a PGA Tour how they would have handled yesterday, like the crowd. And the other thing that struck me on the party hole, and I don't know whether they do this at Phoenix, the party hole there, like there's music from the time they walk out to the time they start to move on to the next tee. So
it doesn't stop
while you're having your shot.
Ah, right, okay. I don't know. I've seen the party hole at Phoenix. I don't know. I thought they stopped the music when they play their shots, but...
Well, at this event,
Not at this event, I'm right. Not sure whether they do.
And then they're very loud and they cheer. But I think the golfers take it for what it is too, that hole. So they're not blowing up about it and going, mate, calm down and... Well, they embrace it and they encourage and...
They get their cash and they say, look, you've got to... I think part of the deal is you get your cash, right? And they're getting a heap of it. You've got to accept that we're doing things differently. And the players go, probably just goes to show how much they carry on about the noise and quiet, please. You know, if they can...
Well, there wasn't many bad shots, the ones that I saw. Like, they all landed them pretty close to the pin.
Oh, we were that close. Tyrrell Hatton was... 3-4 inches from a hole in one when we were there early on day one. We were close to having Chase Koepka last year. But it was interesting because I played golf on Thursday up at a course in the hills in Adelaide. Group before us, all there from Perth. Group behind us, all there from Brisbane. So it's become a destination event for interstate. As long as you were speaking to people who were there from here, there and everywhere as well. So it will only get bigger and bigger because... And the thing is, we've got big names we never see as well in Australia playing golf. Yeah. So
exactly right. As I said, I was blown away. I thought it was unbelievable. It's an event. Not everyone will like it, but that's okay. Don't go. But if you want to see an event that's got the world's best golfers in it and you want to have a good time, then that is a terrific place to go. It's one of the best events I've been to. There you go.
And just on the golf, Craig from Tamworth says, correct, men, they do stop the music at the Phoenix Waste Management Open and some players try to get the crowd going while they hit their shots. So in regards to the party hole. And we'll speak to Adam Pigilly, covered the whole event. And on the back page of the Herald, golf louder and loutish. So I guess he'll fill us in on some of the stuff that probably made him roll his eyes as he's written a piece on what he saw over the course of the 3 days. And Adam's all for good fun, so it'll be interesting to get his take this article.
One of the things they may have to just... one of the poor old caddies got hit in the back of the head. Someone may need to do something about that. That can't keep happening. I was actually listening to... might have been some other radio show on the way in this morning. Imagine if the NRL and some bloke hurled a can out. Well, that was the old... Were you playing in that game where they hurled cans out onto the Lincoln?
No, that was before me.
If you did that now, you'd be marched out. You'd be in. Yeah. You'd get in the back of the van. You'd probably get yourself a $20,000 fine. You might spend some time in the big house. Live golf. Nah, that's right. I need to sort that out.
It's funny with Aussies. Oh, I suppose it's everywhere, but especially between with us, we've all got that mate. There's a line. Can't do that, but there's always one.
There's always one.
They just can't help themselves. We'll speak to Pengilly later this morning. Also on the back page of the Herald, Mitchell may sit out Origin to focus on South season. Interesting. Latrell Mitchell, according to this report, considering making himself unavailable for New South Wales to prioritise Souths. He still has 1 week left of his suspension for that forearm on Sean Johnson. The report suggests he feels a debt to the Bunnies. He will have 3 games back, all going fine, injury, suspension, etc., before the New South Wales team is picked for game one. I might be a slight conspiracy theorist here. This is great PR from the Mitchell camp, I reckon, because how could he be picked at the moment? On reputation?
I don't think he would have been picked at all, going from on form and going off the back of the suspension. But he's got... if he was available, he'd have 4 weeks to get himself going and try and push his cause for selection. Where he stands at the moment, he wouldn't be in the frame. He wouldn't be in the frame for selection because there's others going better than him. But there's no doubt when Latrell is up playing his best football, he is one of the most devastating players in the game. But we haven't seen it this year. So Madge has made it quite clear that he wants players in form, but he also wants players with a clear head. And someone that's going to focus in on what he needs to do for New South Wales. And Latrell being out at the moment, that certainly won't help his cause. Only thing I have, and I know Jack did it last year, made himself unavailable. Got to be careful making yourself unavailable for representative teams because I don't want to see players pick and choose when they play. Because I think that sets a bad precedent because then clubs will start to put pressure on players to pull out of big games, and I know there's $30,000 bonus there, playing every game, and that's an attraction in itself. But
$30,000 a game, isn't it?
$30,000 a game.
Yeah.
But you're still, clubs are very persuasive if they've got players that say dead rubber happens.
That's where it's going to come in.
That's where you'll start to get
got a niggle,
a bit of force from clubs saying, mate, you're better off to rest this week because rest from Origin because the series is over. What do you got
you
to gain? We want you focused in on the football at the end of the season. So I can see some drama there. So I think we need to tread a little bit carefully about allowing players to pick and choose when they want to play
rip footy. It's a decision for Latrell, but you're right. That happens with the EPL and all the, when they've got to play for their country, you can see the pressure comes, And as much as they try to say no, you can go to play for your country. And the clubs are paying them the big bucks.
I get it.
And I understand. It's a commercial decision. And they want to win. You can't lose your best player. Mate, if Latrell makes himself unavailable, he makes himself unavailable. Was he going to get picked anyway? I think I'll defer to Laurie on that. I don't disagree.
Yeah. No, I think he's down the pecking order at the moment. I don't think he's a walk-up start to play State of Origin. I think that there's other centres in front of him. But again, who knows what will happen to some of those players. They may get injured. Latrell may come back, play in the centres, blitz it, and
still
all of a sudden...
We need him.
SOS call.
That's why you never write anyone in or write anyone out.
And also on the back page of the Herald, Coleman safe until after TARS year ends. We'll have Berkey on later this morning. And the Waratahs, another defeat. They're 2 wins, 7 losses for the Super Rugby Pacific season. And well done to the Waratahs women's side yesterday. They won the, or completed an unbeaten Super W season, 50-14. Their victory over the Fijiana Drua in the grand final at Ballymore. Gee, the Drua had their fly half sent off for stomping late in that match. It was an ugly incident there as well. Back page of the Daily Telegraph, Stewie Sharks, look at them. Hines shines bright. Ricky's 500th ruined. Sharks number 7 states his case for Origin is the headline there. And, of course, Braden Trindle unavailable. He's set to be suspended soon. And Buzz reported over the weekend in the Telegraph that he's off to rehab as well, some treatment. Of course, Dale Finucane retired. Nico Hines, though, just dominant. Sione Katoa had a double there yesterday. And the Sharkies are top of the ladder in that. Well, what about the Denny Levi drop, Loz? That just summed it up for the Raiders, didn't it, yesterday?
Oh, there was another one too, James Schiller.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He dropped the ball. They could have had... You know, they were never going to win that game. Let's be honest. The Raiders were never going to win. The Sharks were way too good. But they could have put 2 or 3 tries on the Sharks and made it a bit more respectable. But the Sharks are playing some really good football. You know, they went into that game without Trindle. And they got away with it, 40-0. So that's a big result for the Sharkies. So well done to them. Ricky B. scratching his head, wondering where it all went wrong for the Raiders yesterday. And I think, you know, with a young outside backs and, you know, losing their halfback last week, I think we might see some up and down results from the Raiders while Jamal's out. Mm. And if they couldn't afford to lose Jamal, he was their most experienced half in the club. And we see how much experience means in that position. Well, yeah, they'll have to bounce back next week. They'll have to get a better account of themselves, because otherwise you can lose confidence pretty quickly in this game. It doesn't get any easier, though.
They've got Manly Friday night. At Brookie, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
That ain't going to be an easy
game. Yeah, but Manly got a couple of blokes. Well, could have a couple of blokes out.
Yeah.
Cherry Evans and Ola Kuatu. I mean, they'd be two big outs for Manly.
When do they have to make their decision, Bob?
That'll be by 12 o'clock today, whether they take the early plea on that dangerous throw.
Would you take it?
Sean Lane.
I would
if I was him. The way they're cracking down on that type of stuff. That
I don't like those type of tackles. Mm. You know, I know we can get high tackles wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there can be some mitigating circumstances. I might tackle you low and you drop your height if you, you know, and someone comes in and collects you over the head. But the flipping tackle tackle.
As soon as you lift people.
You put him in a dangerous situation. But he landed on his shoulder, Lane, but it could have been terrible.
I was wondering whether... just watching it, whether Ola Kuatu will accept that DC will fight his. Because DC sort of pulls and then lets go. Whereas Ola Kuatu lives.
There's a possibility of them doing that.
Yeah. I don't know whether they will or won't. But that otherwise, the way they've cracked down on those...
You're not going to get both of them off.
I wouldn't have thought so. So you just landed. It just looked
like... When you land like that, you're in the lap of the gods.
Yeah.
And... he was lucky that he was able to walk away.
Yeah.
Okay, you know. And again, there's things in the game that you can't stop. But I think those type of tackles, you can. You don't have to go lifting and you don't have to start to...
Yeah, as soon as you pick them up off the ground.
Yeah.
Because if you think there's someone hanging on at the top, right? Wrap the ball up. As soon as you lift, that person will naturally pull you down because all the weight will come out of it. So their body weight's pulling you down. So you're going to flip them very quickly.
Back page of the Courier Mail, and there's Cam Smith relishing in Ripper GC's team victory at the LIV tournament yesterday. Captain Cam lives it up. Hungry for more. Kev demands informed Broncos take it up a gear. Is the headline on the back page there as well. They got the Roosters. That's a big game. Of course, they met round one, didn't they? The Vegas game. The Roosters and the Bronx. The
Roosters were too good. They defended really well that game over there in Vegas. They got some strike. The Brisbane Broncos.
Don't they, Loz?
They got some strike. The Roosters, though, I thought that was their best performance for a long while. But what do we make of the Dragons? But young Sam Walker, I thought he was terrific. He was the primary playmaker. And I think that suits him a lot more in this structure. Their forwards were very good. Oh, Spencer Lino's not back for this game, is he?
No, he's got it's one more next week.
Next week. Geez, that would have been another.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Interesting
really.
Scenario, wouldn't it, if he was making his comeback this week? Mm.
What about the what about the whole kickoff thing? Where do you stand on that?
Oh, I can understand why they'd have the debate, but I personally wouldn't like to see it changed. No.
Yeah, the debate's going to rage on because guys keep.
Yeah, and you know what? In 10 years' time, I'll probably be wrong because I think they will change it. I think there will be something done about.
How do you change it though? So it's sort of part of the game. I watch it and think. I know that sounds, it's part of the game. It's not part of the game getting knocked out, but I don't know. It's part of the reason you watch. I could never do it. It's part of the reason why I watch the game.
Well, I think once you start taking stuff out, so if you take the kickoff out, then do you start taking kick returns out?
Well, that's what I mean. Eh?
If people start to get concussed from them.
Yeah, where does it stop?
Because you're trying to get aggressive on players in a one-on-one situation. Yeah. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So if your focus doesn't need to go on a kickoff, your focus can then go to the player carrying the ball back from a kick return. Or if you start to see people putting bombs up and the old, who was it? Mick Crocker on, I think it was on Snake, Brett Stewart in the grand final, where they just come through and just flatten you. You're going to then ban that type of tackle.
You're opening up a can of worms. I don't know. It's part of the reason where would it end up, but certainly the debate will rage on. It's part of the reason I watch it. I don't want to see anyone get knocked out, by the way.
Well, you don't want to see a play the ball to start the game.
I don't want to
see
that. Oh.
Or a tap.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's embarrassing, you know. Seriously.
The boffins within the NRL will be looking at it thinking, hang on, that's... If you're putting I was listening to Wade Graham talk on another footy show. The whole game's risky, if you think about it.
Oh, most definitely.
You can get hurt at any stage, just...
Well, you know the biggest risk for all sports, and contact sports in particular, is concussion.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the biggest risk that all sports, in particular contact sports, face. And it'll be the biggest challenge moving forward, because there'll be cases that will happen where people will go to court, and if they win in court, what does it do for sport?
Well, it's one of the things that's never been tested in court yet, as in the American case is slightly different. They knew it was bad. They kept saying, that's why they bring them off.
Yeah.
No one's actually stood a case up in court. There's some going on at the moment, isn't there? I'm pretty sure there are a couple.
Over in England there is.
Yeah, there's a couple going on at the moment. So they'll be landmark cases. Watch this space.